as we dedicate their memorials. As you look at the different announcements today, I just wanted to call your attention to the Bluegrass Gospel Service that will be going on during the summer, at least the summer. And if you notice, there are several groups that will be coming in, outside groups that will be coming in to play for those different services. What I would hope that you would do is share this information with other people. You can get posters here at the church. You can also maybe put it on your Facebook page or whatever. This is an opportunity to reach people that we otherwise might not reach. So if you will, please support that service. And it's going to start this Saturday night with Roger and Joy Perry, whoever they are, and the Down Home Praise. Down Home Praise is our house band, and we're also known as the Christ Church Volunteer Bluegrass Department. So there's a variety of people in that. Both will be a part of the service on June 1st to kick that off. And then you can see some of the other bands. I don't know if how many of you have been to Bucktown Revue? Okay, you'll remember the a lot of those players in Bucktown, including Mike Romke and Cora Wynn, they're part of Owl Creek Collective. You see, they're coming. Annie Savage is an incredible violin fiddle player. And, you know, a lot of these people you can see on YouTube. It's exciting to see that they're willing to come and play at our worship service. We have other things that are coming up. The youth group is taking it to the park starting very soon here in June, and they will be at different parks, and it's kind of neat. It's their mission. They'll be cleaning up the park. They'll be putting on a hosting of anyone who's in the park to feed them and to interact with them. It's a way for us to get out into the community. So if you can support that as well. Just a reminder that June 2nd is our graduate recognition. And if you haven't contacted the church, if you are a graduate of a degree from high school on up, please be sure that we know that you have graduated so that we can honor you and recognize you that day. Other things are listed there that you can look at and also put on your calendar. But today we are going to celebrate those who've gone before us. And we're also going to talk about God's better plan and how that impacts us and affects us. So let's begin our worship service. Let's as we do that, we're going to have a greeting time, but right before that, let's just have a prayer. Lord God, I thank you for all who've come today for this service of worship. We just dedicate it to you. We seek to honor you with our worship and also to experience your presence here. In Jesus' name I pray. Please stand and greet each other in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's all stand as we praise our Lord this morning. My soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wing. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere.
Sin erased. We'll dance on seas Walking up, I want you to think about what is today, and the answer cannot be today is Sunday. Okay, so I heard it. Who hollered it? Parker, tell me again, what is today?
Memorial Day weekend.
And so does that mean we're having picnics and we're just having parties and stuff? What does that mean for you guys? Yes. Yes, the ones who served our country. Can you hand me that flag, Miss Steph? Can you come up here and join me? I love it when somebody actually knows what we are celebrating today. And yes, do you know that actually, like many, many years ago, there were people of the same family fighting in our country? They were fighting against each other. That doesn't make much sense, but you know what? This was called, anybody know what war?
Civil War.
Civil War. Oh, Red Star. Where's Red Star there? It's the Civil War. People were fighting for land, and they were fighting to have freedom. And one of those was the freedom of religion. Question number two. Up by the altar, there are two poles with something on it. Who can tell me what they are? Does anybody see two poles up there by the altar? Okay. Olivia, what do you see? Okay. And what else, Annabelle?
I can't really see it.
Okay. Miss Steph, can you show us? Many of you don't know. Sometimes we come into the sanctuary and we just get used to the things that are there, but I really want to point out, you know what? The same two flags are outside of the church. Did you know that, Jake?
No.
You better look next time, okay? So, can you see the cross on there?
Yeah.
And what are the colors of that?
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue. And that is our Christian flag. Okay, what was the other one? Can you pull out? Just so you can see. The American flag, what are the colors again? Red, white, and blue. What do they stand for, do you know? They stand for our freedom. 50 stars for 50 states. You're right. That is so good, Parker. So when you see those two flags, first of all, you remember the American flag because those are the people we are honoring today. Those are the people that have fought for our freedoms and have died, those that were in the service, and they did that for us. But I also want you to remember that Christ died for us to take away our sins, to live a life that is walking with Jesus, to live a life that pleases him so that we can be in heaven with him when we die. And so those are two things that I want you to think about. So I need a girl and a boy, okay? Addison, and Parker. So this is your instructions for today, and I got some sticky notes in case you forget. So you are to pray, and you are to pray, and you're going to pray for people that maybe are kind of sad today. You're going to pray for people that have lost their loved ones. You're going to pray that you know Jesus a little bit better. You are also going to pray that you will have an awesome day today with your family. Oh, I have one more sticky note. I want you to pray too. Okay? Because it is important that we pray to Jesus. It's also important that we give him thanks for the freedom that we have. We can be here in this church and we can pray to God, and no one will say, don't do that. And that's what I praise God for today. Can we have a word of prayer? Stick with me, Addison. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the kids here. I thank you for the parents. I thank you for the loved ones that have passed on. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy each and every day. Help us to honor and respect what has happened in our past. So this day we go forth. We just ask that you walk with us and allow us to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go.
As a part of our service, we receive an offering, and it is an act of worship. So as you give, do it in honor of God. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for all that you have given us, and I ask that you will receive this offering and use it to further your work in this world, throughout the Quad Cities and the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I'm sure you have noticed that we have candles up on the communion table. There are 31, and they represent the people whose memorials have been given in the last couple of years to the church. And it's at this time in our service that we recognize those. If you are here for a family member who is represented, you're welcome to stand during that time. If you want to stand during all the reading of these names, that's fine as well. As we look at reading these names and the recognition of their gift, I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable nature must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed and with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for those members and friends of Christ Church who lived a life that was significant in the kingdom of God. And in their memorial gifts, Lord, we honor you as we remember them. H. Douglas Bettinger, the food pantry. Reverend David Baltimore, the Family Life Center. Harold Campbell, the Family Life Center. Mary Chapman, the kitchen area. Arlene Sheffer, the food pantry. Bob Sheffer, the food pantry. Verna Colmark, the Family Life Center. Dennis Converse, to the glory of God and to the church's ministry. Anna Mae Dawson, Family Life Center. Mary Lou Dickinson, to the glory of God and the ministry of the church. Jay Drolley, to the endowment of the church. Rose Dunn, to the food pantry. Velma Ginrich, to the glory of God and to the work of the church. Phyllis Gooch Dengler, to the glory of God and the work of the church. Iris Hall, to the Family Life Center. Lena Carlisle Keel, to the Family Life Center. George Kincaid, the Parish Nurse Ministry. Jack Lundeen, the Church Endowment Fund. Helen Mankoski, to the Ministry of the Called. Jean Mackay, to the glory of God and the ministry of the church. Bruce Mink, the Family Life Center. Angel Nunez, the Family Life Center. Elaine Olson, the Family Life Center. Bev Oling, the Family Life Center. Irene Parks, the food pantry. Artis Perry, the Family Life Center. Donald Spahn, the Family Life Center. Frank Stewart, the Mary Sunshine Ministry. Dean Stone, the Family Life Center. Jean Van Voltenberg, the Family Life Center. John Wilson, the Family Life Center. Lord God, we thank you for all these who who gave their life to you, and how we honor and recognize them in the giving of our financial gifts to honor you and to recognize their lives and our love for them. Lord, today we also lift up to you those who have served our country in the military and who died in service. Lord, we ask that you will be with families of those who've recently died, and with families of those whose ancestors have died in the past in service to our country. Help us to always remember the important sacrifice that they made so that we might live in a free nation. Lord, also, as we have gathered here, we've been impacted by different people. We've heard of different needs that come to our mind. And we now lift those names to you, those to whom we are, who are praying and need your touch, whether it be something in life or are in a recovery from an illness, injury, or surgery. Hear these names, Lord.
Mike and Kim.
Lord, hear all of our spoken and unspoken prayers and answer them in the way that we know you will, in the wisest ways. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we celebrate this special weekend. I was wondering what can be said? What can be said about Memorial Day? And one of the things that I want us to do as we start out this message is I want you to see this video if it's ready. And let's run that. Freedom is not free. It never has been. And as I think about those who've given their life and the one who has given his life for all, I came up with this passage of scripture from Hebrews. And you may want to turn to it. I think it's on page 1212, because you might want to return to this maybe this afternoon or sometime, where you can read the whole chapter 11 that leads up to this passage of scripture. But we're going to start with 11:39 and go through 12:3. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let's pray. Lord God, speak to us through your holy word, and may this witness to your word be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's this guy, he's a businessman, he's rushing to catch an airplane from one city to the next where he had to be next, and he was running late. He got there just in time, showed the ticket, rushed onto the plane, last one to sit down. He sat down next to this lady, and he was buckling in, getting ready for takeoff, and this lady kind of looked down her nose at him and said, looked down at where he was seated and said, "Are you reading that?" And he didn't have any idea what she was talking about until he looked down and realized he had sat on a newspaper. "Are you reading that?" So he looked back at her and said, "Well, yes, madam, I am reading that." Plane took off. Pretty soon the seatbelt sign went off. He could unfasten the seatbelt. He unfastens his seatbelt. He gets up off the newspaper. He picks up the newspaper. He turns the page. He puts it back down on the seat and sits back down on it. Of course, she's looking at him, and he goes, "Madam, you need to know I have 20/20 hindsight." Oh, hey, the truth is we all have 20/20 hindsight. But seeing what lies ahead in the future is what's difficult. That's something else altogether. The future is unknown. It's risky. It's something we just don't know what's going to happen. This is why we have a tendency, all of us, to hesitate when we're about to make a bold. We're going to need a new microphone. I think I just gave up. Go to the microphone. Here, is that better? Can you hear me? Okay, all right. But, you know, it's just risky business when we move out, because we don't know the future. And the truth is that if we did know the future, if you knew the future, you'd never fail. You'd never have a failure in life, whether it be in a business or making a change in terms of where you live or making a decision about who to marry. You know, there would be no failure. And then there's those who are the armchair critics, you know, that sit in front of the TV watching a football game, and they're the ones who quarterback from the sidelines. You're like, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done this. I could have told you that." You know, they are exactly right with their criticism. But when it comes to playing the game, they're worthless. Now, the stories that you read from Hebrews 11, this is one reason I want you to read it, is because you'll see there that the writer goes back to creation and then starts moving forward, and he names name after name after name after name in the Bible of people who lived by faith. But really, many would see as possibly a failure. They were unlikely heroes. Next week, we're going to begin a series on unlikely heroes, people like you and I that God got a hold of and used in mighty ways. But from God's point of view, what makes a hero? What makes a person who is successful in actions of faith? exploits that they do for God may seem to fall short. For instance, the writer in Hebrews 11, he says, he puts it this way. He names all these people, and then he has this group that he brings into the same picture. He says, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Did you catch that? Said the world was not worthy of them, even though the world was the ones that made them suffer. You know, these were tough people. People listed in Hebrews 11, they were tough people. They chose to face difficulty, and the sure consequence that accompanied it, even though they knew that it was going to cost them possibly everything, they refused to take the easy way out. That's where we pick up with the text this morning that I read. The writer states, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, did you catch that? First of all, God had planned something better. But look at it more. It says, God planned something better for us. Now, what does that mean? Well, those individuals who were willing to pay the price for faith, for their faith, did it willingly, and they were willing to lay down their lives for a victory which they did not see. We've seen it. We know what happens. We have the opportunity of reading through the New Testament. But those in the Old Testament that lived by faith, they didn't have that understanding. They didn't have the understanding of the cross. They didn't have the understanding of the empty tomb, the resurrection. And it's interesting when you do something, when you don't know the outcome, but you know it's the right thing to do. I want to show you something that I own, something I have, that is, to me, one of my most cherished possessions. I mean, if you would come up to me with a $1 million check and said, I'll trade you, I would say no. It was given to me when my mother passed away. It had been given to her. And someday, I'll pass it on to someone who will appreciate it as much as I do. What could that be? What is it that I want to show you? It is an object. It's, you know, somebody called out, it's your wife! No. Obviously, she's very precious to me. But what could I show you that would be so precious? My father served in World War II. And when he died, this was draped on his casket. Just like every military person has an opportunity to have a flag covering their casket. And when the service was over out at the cemetery, there was a representative from the military who gave this to my mom in appreciation for Dad's service to our country. Now, I'm fortunate because Dad served in World War II, and he lived a long life, a wonderful life. And his memory is one that will always live on, and that's a symbol of serving our country. But Dad had a lot of friends who didn't make it back from the service. And it's those that we are honoring today. And it seems like when I read this about those in the Bible who gave so much in their actions and yet still didn't receive fully what was promised, I can't help but think of those in the military who did the same thing. Their lives were cut short because of being killed in action. But they did that so that we might live free. They were willing to go there. They understood that freedom is not free. It costs us something. I remember when I was a kid, Dad was asked a question by someone. That same someone, I think he thought us boys were pretty rowdy. I don't know. And the question to my dad was, Lloyd, you served in the military. You served in World War II. Don't you think your boys ought to go into the military? Don't you think they ought to serve? And I remember my dad hesitated. You know, my ears perked up well, what's he going to say? Am I going to end up in the military? What's going to happen here? I remember my dad hesitating and then saying, I hope that my service was enough for my sons and the rest of my family. Now, whether it was or not, that's what happened. We did not serve in the military, but we recognized the service that he gave. You know, he was in heavy military fighting. We didn't hear anything about it for 50 years. He wouldn't talk about his service, and very limited talk after 50 years. He received the Bronze Star, and he, after that 50-year time, I said, Dad, I'd love for you to tell me how you got that. And he started telling me the story. But loved ones, he couldn't get through it without crying. He was risking his life to save others. I remember at the time hearing this story and thinking to myself, I didn't tell Dad this, but I was thinking to myself, Dad, what were you thinking? If you had died back there, there wouldn't be a me. You see, sacrifice impacts and affects everyone in this room and in our country. And the sacrifice that we see of those who live by faith impacts each one of us. You are here because of sacrifices that were made by others. We are here worshiping God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And what we see, we can see, and the readers of Hebrews could see, but the one spoke about that were living by faith could not see, and that was there is a victory which those that lived years ago could only anticipate. And the victory was the empty tomb. The victory of seeing Jesus Christ go in hand-to-hand combat with Satan and coming out victorious. We see that. We know that. But the people in, that is commented on in Hebrews 11, they didn't know that. I suspect it's like a world war. And not only my dad, but thousands and thousands and thousands of others who were willing to enlist and give their life, if necessary, for an outcome that they didn't know for sure would happen. The something better that is referred to in the book of Hebrews is revealed in that life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what's the bottom line? There are many things which we've got to take by faith. We just have got to take by faith. As disciples of Jesus Christ, as followers of Christ, in life, we have to take by faith. Times when we seem to lose. The times when we pray and it seems that even with a prayer, evil seems to triumph in the situation. It's the times that when we do the right thing and seem to still somehow come out as a victim. And so the question today, with all the unknowns, with all the recognition that we can't see the future, the question is, can you accept by faith the proposition that God has it all planned out, that He has planned something better for you? Yeah, we live in uncertain times. So how are we supposed to accept by faith the idea that God has it all planned out, even in uncertain times? You know, I'm not sure there ever was certain times. You think back through history, was there ever a certain time? We always live in uncertain times. And around here, around Christ Church, we this text a lot. It's from Jeremiah 29:11. Do you know that text? Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." The Lord plans to prosper you. And not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, God has it all planned out. He has a plan for you. He's got something better planned for you. Now, when I'm at my best, when I am hitting on all spiritual cylinders, okay? When I'm doing that, then I choose to accept this by faith. That God has a plan, and regardless of what's happening to me, I know that His plan is going to work out. Billy Graham said these words. He says, "I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds. But I know who holds the future." Now, this is from a man who God used in enormous ways throughout many different changes and wars during the world history in which he lived. "I don't know what the future holds," he says, "but I know who holds the future." It means living by faith. Hebrews 11.
Seems like every paragraph and every sentence starts out with the words, "by faith." And then somebody's mentioned what they did. "By faith.
Is the sovereign of the universe, then His will is ultimately what is true and right and perfect, even if the circumstance in life may not point to that. It has been said that it is better to lose in a cause that will ultimately win than to win in a cause that will ultimately fail. Did you catch that? It's better to lose in a cause that will ultimately win than to win in a cause that will ultimately fail. You know, this Bible we have here, we had the opportunity to read the last chapter. Guess what? God wins. God is victorious. And as we move toward that last chapter in our own lives, we have an opportunity to live by faith, even if it means ultimate sacrifice. I'd like to close with reading what I read earlier when we were fixing to read the names of those whose gifts we dedicate. And it comes from 1 Corinthians. And I'm starting with verse 4. Hear these words. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the victory. Thank you for the ability to be empowered by you, to be faith in action, and that regardless of what happens in this world, we know that you hold the future, that you have a plan for us, a plan not to harm, but to give us a hope and a future. We thank you, Lord, for those who've gone before us, who've shown us the importance of true living, even if it means the ultimate sacrifice of death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
That I've never done. I'm gonna finish all the races that I've run, but I've never run. I'm gonna see a million faces, recognize everyone. One of these days, one of these days. That have gone before, and in their sandals I will walk. We will sit along the shore, and I will learn all the things that I never knew before. All this and more. One of these days. One of these days. where there's no more need, no more pain and no more grief, no more foolish disbelief, and all the joy there will be when at last we finally see one of these days.
Go and share your faith with someone who needs love, forgiveness, or hope. Point them toward God. Let him save them as he is saving you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen.
One of these days.